Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are scheduled to be joined shortly by Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com and Outkick 360 as well. Talking Titans, so looking forward to that conversation coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans, what he's seen out of Treylon Burks and company so far during training camp, and all of the like. So we'll get to that here in just a few minutes. So we'll see what happens on that front. So, Joe, in the meantime, what did you take away from Titans training camp practice yesterday in terms of day number two on the field on the pads? Had Malik Willis out there for a lot of the time. What did you make of the Titans and what you saw on the field yesterday in day number two of pads at training camp?
This is a hard question as I look and see if I put his number in wrong. And no, I didn't. Okay. Well, Malik Willis was, I guess yesterday would be considered Malik Willis Day. He got a ton of opportunity. He and Logan Woodside had like the final segment, which was a long segment. Willis had his ups and downs. He had some good moments. I wouldn't say it was like a huge breakthrough day or anything like that, but he did make some good plays.
He did, and he's been a guy that we played some Malik Willis audio earlier in the show, and it's pretty fascinating how open he is in terms of he knows that, you know, he's still got a lot of work to do. He's talked about the footwork, and he's got to match the footwork up with just what he's processing in his head. You know, it's been an up and down camp, I think fair to say, for Malik Willis, but that's the expectation I had anyway for Malik Willis coming into camp of, you know, he's a guy that you took him into the third round. You know, he dropped out of the first round, I think, for a reason. So we'll see, you know, can he continue to learn, continue to put things together as camp goes along here? That's going to be really interesting to monitor. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our good friend Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com and Outkick 360 as well, which you can catch every day from 2 to 5 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. PK, what's going on? How are we doing?
Good morning. I'm well. Thanks, boys.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, PK, let's start on the Treylon Burks front. If you're a Titans fan, based on what he's done thus far in camp, and keeping in mind he's yet to play a game for the Titans, how encouraged should you be by Treylon Burks in the camp that he's put together thus far?
Yeah, you should be encouraged about what he's done so far. But the key words there are so far. So I know it's hard for people to temper that it's two padded practices in and that it's August 3rd. But, I mean, everything's gone well for the Titans so far. And primarily I'm talking on the injury front. I mean, Elijah Molden's the only key guy that's missed any time due to injury. There's some other guys that went off yesterday. I hope that dog does not go crazy right now. you know, so things are good right now. But, you know, it's early in camp, and there have been a ton of good things that have gone on early in camp in lots and lots of camps that have not been harbingers of things to come. That doesn't mean that something's going to go wildly wrong for Treylon Burks. It just means it's early to be like, oh, they're fine at wide receiver now, or they're fine at one and two wide receiver now. Still, you need Burks to continue to develop, and you need Robert Woods to, you know, it's somewhat miraculous in the context of ACLs that we've seen that Woods is so good right now. And I'm curious to see as people continue to push on him and he experiences the torque and the leaning and the weight on it and the twisting on it, if it continues to progress the way it has so far, where he's been, you know, way ahead of it.
Yeah, well, of course you're right, and it's overreaction season, but you got to keep everything in context. I will say that with Burks, Woods, and Caleb Farley, with different situations, two of them with, I guess, the same situation, I'd say it's just about been best case scenario just in terms of what they've done daily. But let's flip it around. Speaking of early, you know, Malik Willis has not been impressive, has struggled. He did get a lot of work yesterday. I thought he did some good things at times. But where is he relative to what you expected by this point?
This is probably what we should expect of Malik Willis at this stage. We get hopeful because there's a crackling expectation for, you know, a new quarterback who's got some great athletic traits. But generally a guy comes in like that and swims, especially coming from a small school with a very limited offense. And so I think, Joe, it, you know, if we weren't expecting it, we were being kind of naive. It's processing things slowly. He had an 8-play drive yesterday in the big boy periods where they were moving the ball. A lot of people don't get that, you know, most practices they snap the ball from the same place over and over, and they may change the sticks. Yesterday they were doing extensive drives where they actually, you know, if they threw a 3-yard pass, they moved the ball 3 yards. If they threw a 40-yard pass, they moved the ball 40 yards. He drove them down the field in an 8-play drive, but he only completed one pass. And, you know, he had 2 first down runs, which is great, and people get excited, but you don't want an offense that lives on that. And they kicked a field goal. And he just doesn't look particularly comfortable reading things for a passing offense. But, you know, Kenny Pickett probably doesn't either. You know, wasn't a good quarterback class, and he's not a guy that you would expect to be good right away. I mean, we're talking about a year-long project in most everybody's projection for him, if not longer. And so we're talking about a second padded practice. This is what the expectation should have been, should be. And so to micro-analyze him day by day, I think this would be the review for a while.
Paul Karski on with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, PK, obviously we're very early in the camp, only a couple days in pads, but has anything in particular stood out to you on the offensive line front, particularly with Dylan Radins and Nicholas Petitfrere, Aaron Brewer, that crew?
Well, what stands out is they haven't made any changes yet. And I unfortunately missed Todd Downing yesterday. I don't know if you were there, Rex, but from what I heard, his tone was like they're going to decide pretty soon, which surprises me. I mean, I would think that there would be a day where they come out with the other two guys at the front of it, and that the other two guys, Nicholas Petitfrere at right tackle and Jamarco Jones at left guard, get to play with the frontliners a little bit to see if they're worthy, maybe into preseason game even. If they don't get that chance, it's another typical outlet and if that's, I think his big commentary on the lack of depth and challenge as it is on Brewer and Radins' ability to win jobs.
We're getting a little Robo Kaharski in there. Go to the good part. Go to the good part of the house, Paul. I wanted to switch gears a little bit and just get your thoughts on a couple big rulings this week: Deshaun Watson and now the Dolphins. What are your burning takeaways?
Well, I mean, hoping I'm better here. I'm going out to the front porch, which is usually foolproof.
sounds good.
Deshaun Watson, you know, I'm in line with you read it, and you think, wow, Sue Robinson is going to lay down the hammer, and then she relies on precedent, and the penalty is underwhelming. The question then, and I think they're going to appeal, is, you know, she relied on precedent. So does the league want a new precedent? I expect the league will want a new precedent. And so we'll appeal it to its own commissioner, which is his right, and he or his designee will come back with a harsher penalty to establish that new precedent. Then it'll go to court. The NFL usually wins in court. and Deshaun Watson will wind up playing on the opening day because everything will be on hold because it'll be in court. Then a suspension may start or certainly finish next season, which will cost him a lot more money because he's got a bigger base salary, much, much bigger base salary next year because the Browns tried to evade that this year. Stephen Ross, I mean, the draft pick penalty for tampering, you know, sends a clear message. I don't understand that they don't differentiate. Like, clearly, they say they didn't tank, which is fine. The question isn't whether they tanked. The question is whether he wanted them to tank. Clearly, Flores and most coaches won't tank. But if he was directed to tank, if the tone of the building was that he should tank, he should be penalized for that. Not a good question of whether the coach followed through on the request. The question is, was there a request? I don't think they handled that very well. I think they used semantics to let him off the hook for that. And quite frankly, it seems like the accusation was bogged down by the accusation of racism because Flores had him on other issues. I don't think he was fired because he was an African-American, but if he was fired in part because he refused to tank, there was a strong case there. What percentage because he refused to tank? You know, if it was 20, if it was 40, if it was 60, that's significant to me, and I think they kind of shoved that under the rug.
He was just kidding.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, just totally joking there. PK, last thing for you. I know you've had an addition at paulkoharski.com this week. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Mike Herndon's been terrific over the years writing at Music City Miracles and then at Broadway Sports. And then last year, he kind of backed out of it and focused more on his quote-unquote actual career, the thing that made him money and feeds his family. I tried to get him last year to write for me a little bit, and he declined. And so I circled back to him this year. And he decided to do it. So he's got his debut column with me today, and he's going to write one a week, add something different than I do and than Blake Bedingfield does at my site. And so it's exciting. He's got a real knack for seeing things that other people don't talk about and writing analytically about them. So that column's up today and unlocked, and I hope people will check it out. And I think it adds a great deal of value to my site and to the Titans writing community.
Check it out, paulkoharski.com, Outkick360 as well. PK, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
Look forward to it, guys. Thanks.
Absolutely. Paul Koharski, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll get to more of Joe Rex Road's training camp reaction coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are your racing station, 1025-1063. The Game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 1 o'clock for the Firekeepers Casino 400. Also join Chase McCabe every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock for Chasing Checkers as he talks to the drivers and gets you set for racing weekend. NASCAR on 1025-1063. The Game is presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on 1025-1063, The Game. Thanks to Paul Koharski for joining us in the last segment. What did you make of Koharski's thoughts on Treylon Burks there in terms of it's been good so far? It's been a lot. It's been very encouraging so far, but let's not run away with this before he steps on the field.
Well, he's right. I mean, really, if you want to boil it down, we probably shouldn't even be talking about stuff right now, you know? We should just recuse ourselves from commenting on camp until.
Well, I enjoyed that he pointed out that not everything in training camp is necessarily a transitive property to the regular season.
I did note. He used the word harbinger.
Yeah.
I did notice that. Yeah. Not necessarily a harbinger. Very true.
So does that mean
this
that
is someone who's covered many, many, many camps?
Does that mean that Paul thinks that maybe Ryan Tannehill's not going to run away with the MVP award this year in the league?
Well, did we blow an opportunity in not asking him?
Man, we could have. Next today? Week?
Yeah.
If this time next week, Tannehill's still not throwing a pick, then we'll really have to get Paul's thoughts on
it. Oh, my goodness. That's the thing is I'm trying to – the problem is COVID messed up you know, the schedule and things like that. But there was still a camp to watch in 20. We just had to, like, they have a very limited number of people let in and things like that. I'm sure Tannehill threw picks in the 2020 camp.
I'm sure he did. At least some.
I mean, maybe.
But just
not.
Think about how good he'll be this year if he throws even fewer than that. My goodness.
Right. I mean, you know, but that's the thing. You know, last year he threw, I guess he actually did throw five early and then I don't think too many more after that. But hey, you're right. Right now he's at zero and that's got to mean something.
It's a spicy day out there on the field yesterday at Titans training camp. We talked about this right as our show was ending yesterday. Apparently a little altercation between Taylor Lewan and Jamarco Jones. You brought up one earlier in the show between Ola Adeniyi and Isaiah McKenzie out there, or Jalen McKenzie, excuse me. I don't know where Isaiah McKenzie came from. Jalen McKenzie. Anytime you put the pads on, you start to see maybe a little feistiness out there. But to me, that's when training camp really begins, Joe, when you start to see a little teammate-on-teammate scraps. Although I will admit, the offensive line-on-offensive line scrap, not one you typically see this time of year in training camp.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I'd love to know, and, you know, should have found Lewan and asked him what he said. I didn't see anyone corral him. He probably, you know, he can be fast when he wants to be. Lewan's athletic.
He is.
But I'd love to know what he said. A to Z Sports reported this when the practice was starting up yesterday, that Jamarco Jones was kicked out of practice for a little altercation with Lewan. He then came back in after warm-ups. I asked around, and basically, apparently they were in some sort of a huddle, the offensive lineman. Lewan said something. Jamarco Jones took issue with it, and they had a little slap fight or whatever the heck. I don't know that there was anything. It was just someone mad, and they had to be kind of like pulled away. But I'd love to know what the heck Lewan said.
You said.
I mean, I don't know. That could be. I didn't see it. Use your imagination. We are not prohibited from making things up. We're just
not
prohibited from, from telling who's on what team and stuff like that. But interesting, you know. Maybe Lewan gave a little like, come on, Jamarco, get your crap together today. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe.
But either way, you had that, and then you had the, Ola Adeniyi, not a guy you expect to ever be mad about anything, I guess. But he got mad at Jalen McKenzie, kind of gave him a little – kind of either a punch in the shoulder pads. I couldn't exactly see. It was pretty close to me, but it was – Adeniyi was, like, behind him, you know, from my perspective. And then Vrabel got mad, and Adeniyi went over to the side field. So, but also, it was a little bit – he got – McKenzie knocked him to the ground at the end of the play. But also, I think one thing Vrabel was not happy about was that Adeniyi was – coming hard, really close to the quarterback at that point, and obviously the quarterbacks are off limits. You got to be mindful. As much as you want to do a good rip and play to the whistle, to the tilt. Is that what their sign says?
To the tilt.
To the tilt, I think. Yeah, but you still, when you're near a quarterback, you got to hold off a little bit.
Michelle's just giving us both looks.
Is that right?
We're just totally
to the tilt, right?
That's right. Play to the tilt.
I
thought you guys said kilt at first, and I was like, what are they talking
even better
about?
Play with a kilt.
Well, I said
or is
this
it
earlier.
Full tilt? Now, Kaharski actually wrote
full
about
tilt?
This tilt thing.
I mean, full tilt makes more sense.
Figure this out.
Play with a kilt.
Interesting slogans in the Titans locker room. I said this earlier. Whatever the next mic'd up special is for the Titans, you know, they do these mic'd up practice videos all the time. Whenever the next Vrabel one is, number one, I want you to show the whole thing. I'll sit there and watch all 90 minutes of it. I don't care. And I want it to be a time. Like, I really wish he was mic'd up yesterday because I would like to know what exactly he's saying as he's kicking somebody out of practice, whether it's Ola Adeniyi, Jamarco Jones. Word for word, I want to know what Vrabel said. And as we know, Vrabel very calm out there. Last time they mic'd him up, very calm on the practice video that the Titans showed out there. So I'm sure there's nothing to worry about if you mic up Vrabel.
Yeah, I'd love to be the Titans employee who gets to go through that stuff.
Imagine how long that takes to edit all that
out. How many times are you just howling in laughter? I promise you, because, I mean, look, if you're out there, you get to hear some of it, and it is fantastic at times. But, yeah, it's like, you know, you edit it down to, okay, everybody! And then, all right, hit the showers. Here we go.
All right, that's it. That's the last thing we can use. Okay, cool.
In between. Beep, 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 beep. It's like someone sending Morse code. By the way, it is full tilt. That's what it says on the sign. Kaharski
full tilt to the tackle
picture on his on his Twitter account. And yes, full tilt to the tackle. So Ola Daney was going full tilt to the tackle, but maybe a little bit too full tilt because there was no tackle to be had of a quarterback.
Real quickly, what have your observations been of Roger McCreary? Because I bring him up because Shane Bowen, and we played the audio earlier, he was pretty complimentary of Roger McCreary yesterday. Like, very high on Roger McCreary and the camp that he's had thus far. Basically said that he doesn't really consider him a rookie because of the way that he competes and battles out there. You kind of went through your rookie report earlier. Burks and McCreary have separated themselves, which if you're a Titans fan, I think is great because that's your first and second round pick. So it'd be nice for your first and second round picks to really be ready to go and stand out in camp. But so far they are. Has the way that he's played in camp influenced the way that you think they may use him this year? Because Shane Bowen did say yesterday he has done both. He's played inside, he's played outside, which for a rookie, it's pretty remarkable that they're putting that much on him this quickly into camp.
Yeah, that was interesting from Bowen because he was talking about how he's doing both. And then I asked him, so basically, do you normally do that with rookies? He didn't come out and say, like, they never do that. But he did say there is a ton. It's two totally different positions. It's hard enough for a rookie in the NFL against the best football players in the world to try to master one position at this time of his career. But now he's in there for two. So that speaks well of what he's doing for sure. And I find it really interesting. Maybe he can compete with Farley. I figured that was his path because I didn't know how good Farley would be in camp. Well, Farley's been really good. Maybe he can still – that can be a competition, but maybe the more likely competition is at slot with – especially with Elijah Molden banged up right now. So either way, if it comes down to he's your swing cornerback and you feel good about him in any of those spots, even that is pretty good outcome at this point in his career because you need that depth. You know someone's going to get hurt. And I just watching him play day after day, he looks like a guy who can help this team one way or the other. So, yes, I'd say those two have kind of separated themselves a little bit in terms of if you're going to look at all the rookies, and they also go against each other a lot. But also, Caroline brought up Chig Okonkwo, and I think he definitely deserves the next mention. He's been good. He's been impressive. Still waiting to kind of find out more about him as an inline blocker.
We'll continue to get Joe Rexroad's training camp observations from the Titans coming up next. More of your thoughts as well on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll also get to some unfortunate news last night, the passing of a sports legend as well. All that ahead. We're in the final countdown to the fall sports season, and before everyone hunkers down in their man cave, we're providing the ultimate date night opportunity, a pair of tickets to see Michael Bublé, coming up at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, August 16th. Tune in to 102.5, 106.3 The Game all week next week for your chance to win, presented by Blend Bar. You're listening to Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you. We'll have The Choice Is Yours coming up at 8:45, the Michelle Knezovic edition. So looking forward to that here in about 15 minutes. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we've gone through the rookies. Anything on the offensive line as the pads have gone on the last couple of days stand out? And we heard PK's thoughts on this earlier. You know, it's been, you know, obviously very early into camp. Todd Downing spoke on this yesterday in terms of, you know, what he's looking for on the offensive line and when decisions could come on the offensive line. But what has stood out to you on those two areas specifically that have been so much of the conversation over the offseason as to what the offensive line is going to look like?
It's still, I think the one thing that stands out is, I think left guard is Aaron Brewer's to lose, would be my analysis at this point. And I say that still keeping in mind what we've talked about today. It's August 3rd. There are preseason games ahead. There are practices against other teams ahead.
They obviously really like him, though.
Yeah, there are a lot more padded practice ahead, but yeah, I think they really like him. And, I mean, gosh, just compare the guy next to that position. I mean, Lawan gushing about Aaron Brewer and then getting in some thing with Jamarco Jones. So, I mean, if Lawan's picking, I guess he's probably picking Brewer. But, yeah, Vrabel, his comments on Brewer, those are comments that are beyond the norm for Vrabel. You know, he's obviously a big fan. I'll go back again to last year. Now, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, we know this. Everybody talks about him, right? But go back to last year and Dontrell Hilliard and Vrabel, even early on. Vrabel talking about habits around the building with Dontrell Hilliard. So what happens? At the end of the season, I would have guessed, of the two, I would have probably chosen Deontay Foreman as the more likely to be coming back. But Dontrell Hilliard, I think, was never out of the picture in their mind, and he is going to be the third down back. I tell you what, by the way, haven't talked about him. Man, he looks good. Dontrell Hilliard looks good out there. So there's another example of Vrabel giving clues, whether he's trying to or not. If he's actually willing to come out and say things about someone, pay attention to it. He says stuff about Aaron Brewer, stuff he said this camp, pay attention to it. I think he's going to be the starter on day one. And Jamarco Jones, I guess the question then there is he a capable backup?
Right.
I mean, last year they brought in Kendall Lamb. We thought it was going to be Kendall Lamb and Dylan Radins fighting for right tackle. It ends up being David Quesenberry just gets the job. He wins the job, but, you know, totally different from what we expected. And Kendall Lamb really was not even a worthwhile backup for this team. Is Jamarco Jones? I don't know. The other one, that's, I'm still very open-minded on right tackle. I would also continue to pick Dylan Radins to start opening day. By the way, that was my offensive line I said a few months ago.
You did.
But I'm not going to close the door on Nicholas Petitfrere making a run. My untrained eye, when I watch Nicholas Petitfrere out there, he looks like he has the tools to be good. The question is, how much ground can he make up? How's he doing on the learning curve with everything that goes into the position? I don't know, but we're going to learn more about that soon, too.
Well, and you brought up the question earlier. If you're a Titans fan, is it good if Nicholas Petitfrere is pushing Dylan Radins? Is it good if Dylan Radins just wins the job and blows him out of the water and it's never really challenged for the starting spot? I guess time will tell with that answer, but I don't know. Like, if, let's say, Petitfrere works his way up, maybe, you know, the tools that he brings to the table physically you really like if you're the Titans, and maybe he gets himself to a spot by the time the season rolls around, maybe not even the first week, but at some point in the season where he's ready to go. Could that be more of a commentary on him than it is Dylan Radins? Maybe. But I can tell you how that will be viewed with Titans fans. It will be viewed as a commentary on Dylan Radins.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's obviously, if you're Titans, you hope that they're elevating each other. You fear that they're just, neither of them is good enough right now. You know, what also could happen is I think Radins has done all that he's been asked to do and then some. He's put in the work. He's committed to trying to figure this out. He was an offseason award winner, all these things. And he could be the better player in practice, and then you could have one bad game where it just goes really wrong. And then at that point, you know, the question is, like, is Petitfrere ready? I mean, I'd keep an open mind in that position until we see Dylan Radins against other competition really playing well. I think it could go a lot of different ways.
Does it worry you at all that there's not really a veteran guy to play tackle if somebody goes down? I mean, I guess you could slide Jamarco Jones over there, but we're talking about him right now, like a guard. Is he good enough to play guard? And then the tackle conversation is different. Like, does it worry you that there's not even a, I'm not even talking about a star or anything, but like let's a Dennis Kelly type in the mix right now, because honestly, if there was, he'd probably be winning the starting job. Does it worry you that that's not on this roster based on the way that this offensive line is constructed?
Yeah, we talked about going into camp the idea of a veteran being added, which position would be more likely. I think it's way more likely at offensive line than receiver anymore, because the receivers have you've gotten a lot of performances and improvements there, and I think you have enough, not to rule out, you know, the possibility, but I would be surprised. I would not be surprised if the offensive line gets an add. I mean, you've got, after you go, you know, it's so weird too when you look at the roster of the Titans. Like, they list Dylan Raidens and Nicholas Petitfrere, for example, as OL. Okay. And then they have all these other players who are listed as tackles. Like, they're not, those are, well, I guess Raidens has played inside, so I guess that's fine. I mean, Petitfrere is a tackle.
Versatility.
Petitfrere is a tackle. But Jalen McKenzie, Christian DeLauro. I mean, Christian DeLauro right now is getting left tackle reps. You know, it's his second year out of Illinois. That's the thing. Like, I can't sit here and tell you right now that I've watched a ton of, like, Christian DeLauro and how he's playing. It's possible a guy like that could make a huge jump and they could feel like he could be a swing tackle. Jalen McKenzie, the rookie who, again, Oladainy got mad at yesterday, working at right tackle. I mean, is he a guy who, other than that moment, has opened any eyes? I can't sit here and say for sure no. So we're just gonna have to wait and see how it plays out. These are also guys who, in preseason games, that will be helpful to see how they play. But if you tell me right now that John Robinson at some point is going to go out there and find a veteran, and I'm not batting an eyelash at that,
Joe. Really sad night last night, the passing of Vin Scully, passing away at age 94. Legendary sports broadcaster. It's been a tough week with Bill Russell passing away and with Vin Scully passing away late last night as well. They've been kind of just showing his different career highlights all day long on ESPN so far on the TV, and it's really amazing. I think the number was 25 World Series that he's called, 20 no-hitters, 3 perfect games, 12 All-Star games, like, the guy was unbelievable, and I guess I didn't realize this until Schefter pointed it out earlier. He was also on the broadcast for the Catch in San Francisco as well, did the football game. So just a legendary broadcaster, and a really sad night last night. Vin Scully passing away at the age of 94.
Yeah, it's what a week. It's awful, you know, to lose Bill Russell and Vin Scully, giants. Different sports, different ways, but sometimes, you know, you have famous people, announcers or whatever, who are really good and you really, like, you like them, right, because of how good they are, but then you hear, you know, maybe they're not, maybe off camera, they're, you know, it's not the
prickly.
Same. Yeah. I think Vin Scully is like unanimous support and affection from anybody who ever knew him, which says something to me too, so... Big loss, 182 years between those two guys. So they lived great lives, but it's still sad to lose them.
No question about it. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for The Choice is Yours. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for The Choice is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. I'm laughing, Joe, because I know exactly what you're thinking right now.
Is that like the song, or is it because we only have one ear?
It's because we only have one ear. You can only hear one.
This.
We don't hear both.
This.
Just beautiful stuff. It is time for The Choice is Yours. As always, we encourage your participation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Michelle Knezovic, I turn things over to you.
Okay, guys, are we starting with sports or non-sports?
Just don't talk to us in stereo, because you may just be muted.
Let's go non-sports.
Okay, non-sports. if you guys could compete in any game show or reality TV show where there's some sort of prize money or something at the end, what would it be?
I got this.
Okay.
It is a dream of mine. It is a dream of Katie Rexroad. It is a dream of our family to be on the show Big Brother.
Oh.
It is our guilty pleasure as a family. We love the show. Katie and I have been watching this since we were dating, going way back, like season 2 with Dr. Will. And we've been made fun of many times. Let me tell you something. It is a great show. It is a great competition. It's not a reality show. It's a competition.
Yeah.
For $500,000, although I think maybe they play for $750,000. Someday. Now, I've tried to put my little sister up to going on the show. She didn't do it. Now she's old like me. We do. Our daughter, Caroline, is a prospect. But I am still looking at possibly being the old guy on Big Brother someday. Because there's always like an old guy. Like, some crusty old. And usually they get voted out quickly. But you know what? Maybe I'll have staying power.
That's right.
It's an absolute dream. And it's a great show.
There you go. I have two answers.
Okay,
so
let's hear it.
My first one is what I would do right now this minute. And that is Family Feud. Now,
love it.
I always watch it, and I think to myself, oh, I would destroy this, no question about it. And then you get to the studio, and it's probably a different story at that point. But I feel like my chances on Family Feud would be pretty good. You know, ask me again in a year when, as we continue to update our health journeys every day, when I'm continuing to work out at this time next year, American Ninja Warrior, I'm all for it, baby. Give me that obstacle course. I'll get through it.
Nice.
That's what I'm going for.
That is
American
scary.
Ninja Warrior.
That is scary. So I have two also. The first one, you just get a huge trophy. I don't think you actually get, you know, a prize. But it's, I'm going to get made fun of for this, Dancing with the Stars.
There we go.
I'm not a professional dancer, so I would have to obviously be the star. So that would be a struggle to figure out how
obviously I would be the star.
But I think I would absolutely kill it. My friends always make fun of me. I'm like, guys, I could totally get on there and just like win. I probably would have two left feet, but I feel like that would be really, really fun.
There you go.
And the other one, which I have applied for, but all of my family members are like, we're not doing this with you, Michelle. And I've tried to convince people to, you know, do a video with me to get on the show. It is, oh my gosh.
Uh-oh, we got Price
is Right.
Oh, got it.
Wheel
no, no,
of Fortune.
No, I got it. I got it.
No whammies.
I blanked for a second. The Amazing Race.
Okay.
Where,
oh, sure. We'd have never guessed that.
Yeah, right.
I love that.
You have a partner, and essentially you are flying around the world, and you do all these obstacles. And I mean, it's intense, and the knowledge you have to know at the end, but that would be pretty cool, and you win $1 million. So
pretty good.
And you get to travel around the world. So,
by the way, some quick word from our fearless leader, Chase McCabe, on our text line says, I auditioned for Big Brother one
time.
Oh,
my gosh.
Chaser,
I would be rooting for you so hard, man. Don't stop.
Do it again.
You're young. Keep going.
Keep on going.
You can't be the old guy yet, but you're still young enough to be just
one of the
bros
guys
on the show.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, switching over to sports in honor of Vin Scully, one of the most incredible play-by-play announcers, personally, I think. I know a lot of other people think so as well. You guys can choose one. You can choose a couple. Who is your favorite maybe play-by-play announcer or color analyst or somebody you associate with or always want to hear when you turn on a specific sport?
Well, mine is very personally biased with me because I know the person and have grown up watching him, but it's Pete Weber. Like, Pete Weber can call anything, baseball, football, hockey, soccer, whatever you want him to call. He can call. So he would be my answer just because I think he's a lot of people's answer around here. If I had to go beyond that, honestly, it's probably Doc Emmerich. Doc Emmerich was great calling hockey. And I watched Doc Emmerich in the Olympic Games calling water polo and watched like the whole match because Doc Emmerich was calling the game. So those would be my two. More on the personal connection with Pete Weber. Like, I grew up listening to Pete Weber. So he's my guy always. But Doc Emmerich would probably be the other one.
Yeah, so for me, it's an interesting timing on this because, you know, I almost don't want to say this because we just lost Vin Scully, but I believe Ernie Harwell is the greatest play-by-play announcer of all time. Am I biased? Absolutely. I essentially grew up listening to Ernie Harwell. I think I've probably told this story on here, but I'll tell it again. It would have been 20 years ago. 20 years ago, I got to spend a day with Ernie Harwell. He was still doing the Tigers games, so he was at that point 84 years old and still just rocking. And it was, I honestly, I think it'll be the thrill of my career when it's all done it'll stand as the thrill of the career. One of the things about that day I remember is telling him when the Tigers fired him, because Bo Schembechler, and it was a big mess, huge controversy in Michigan. My grandma wrote a letter and it printed in the Detroit News, so angry about them. And I told Ernie Harwell about this. I said, well, you tell your grandmammy I said thank you. Ernie is from Washington, Georgia, Southern all the way. And this guy got traded from the Braves to the Orioles. He also called the shot heard around the world, Bobby Thompson. I mean, he and Vin Scully were both in New York, Dodgers and Giants in like the 50s. You know, it's incredible. Rest in peace, Ernie. Passed away in 2010. That's an easy one, and I've just hijacked the whole segment
I hope this was Grandma Phyllis, who you go visit.
Absolutely Grandma Phyllis. Yes. She was so angry about it. I like the entire like Tiger like every like, fury still about this, that they fired him. They ended up bringing him back because this happened in like 1991. Oh, man. Don't get me started. You already did. Sorry.
That'll be a Rex rant in the future again. mine is Doris Burke.
Yep.
Just, you know, hearing awesome. A female voice, especially basketball. You guys, everybody knows who listened to the show how much I love basketball. Her, and then also I have to put Jim Nance in there because March Madness is my favorite time of year, and his voice is just associated with it. And
Tiger
even
Woods approaches the green on hole.
I was just gonna say, I even don't like golf. And hello, friends. That's what I think of. Hello, friends.
Doris Burke, play-by-play, color, sideline,
all of it.
Pretty yeah. good. Fantastic.
Also, just paved the way for so many people. Okay, switching back to non-sports. This is pretty open-ended. You can go whichever which way you want. But what food or food group gives you the ick? It can be one specific thing, a dish.
Yeah. I'll start on this one. Not a sushi guy. I've tried before. I can't do it. I prefer my fish to be cooked. You know, there's this great invention called fire a long time ago. Then you could put the fish over the fire. And cook the fish and eat the fish that's cooked
There's sushi that's cooked.
I know that. But a lot of which is not cooked as well. Uncooked sushi, I cannot do. I've tried many times. My wife loves it. So sometimes I've just got to bite the bullet and go. But I can't do it. Don't like it.
So if you go to a, real quick, if you go to like a, like you can get like a, you can go. Assume you get like the, you can just get like a teriyaki dish with steak or whatever. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very disappointing, though.
Well, I've tried. Sushi. I've wanted to like it. I just can't do it.
I think my answer, my struggles to find an answer kind of speaks to my issue yesterday in my restaurant. I mean, because even like banana pudding, which I think is overrated, like I still will eat banana pudding.
No, this always goes back to
I don't have an answer. Like, I swear, I don't. There's not there any food that I don't like. let me think about it. What's your answer?
Okay, so kind of sushi, but I can tolerate it, but I know what you're saying, Robbie. But the one food, like I'm pretty open to a lot of different things. I'll try things. Olives give me the absolute ick. I tell my friends that I call them mutant grapes because one time I ate one and like the saltiness, I was just traumatized.
Well, it's funny you say that because my dad, when I was 4 years old, asked me if I wanted some grapes. And I was like, yeah, go, cool. And he handed me some olives, and I ate it. And ever since then, like, I won't do it.
It's traumatizing. Yeah.
I will eat it by the jar. Olives. by the jar. But I hear you. It's like in my family, it's like half the people hate it. A couple of us love them. That's interesting.
They smell awful.
I still have nothing.
Okay, Joe has no answer, so you can think about that, but we'll move back to our last one, sports. So, in honor of Tom Brady's birthday today, he is turning 45 and is pretty much still at the prime of his career. So, you are 45. Robbie and I will, you know, pretend we are 45, and Joe, you're going to go back to the age 45.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Get in there.
If you could
really
pick,
hurtful.
Sorry, Joe. We know you know we love you on the show. If you could pick one sport to be absolutely elite at and play it professionally at the age of 45, what would it be?
Golf. Make a lot of money. And, you know, at 45, physically, you can still do it in golf. You can make some money at golf. I'd still have golf. It really is amazing, the transformation in my life, how much I love golf now.
A year ago,
I hated it. It's good stuff. Golf is my answer.
That's a good one. Yeah, because I'm not going to say like football because I would get killed still, right? Like even like I actually,
kicker.
Like it could be I'd be like a stewed chicken out there, just fall apart.
Yeah.
I mean, golf would actually, I mean, because I'm so bad at it, it'd be incredible to be great at it. Yeah, I'm going to go golf too.
Yeah.
Like, to actually be elite at that sport is so, I can't even wrap my mind around that as a possibility.
Okay, well, I had golf before you guys even spoke, but I just think being elite at golf is the biggest flex ever. Right, like you can hang with people in basketball, but being elite at golf, like to be good at that is just so hard.
Big and golf fans.
We need
on the
to talk about golf more, apparently, on the program.
We do.
This program isn't about golf enough.
This has been The Choice Is Yours. You can check it out every Wednesday morning at 8:45. Coming up next, we'll get back into the Titans. What does Derrick Henry have left to prove this year for his legacy, for his career? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.